I do this for my culture, 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 culture.
Peace and welcome to For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Tonight, folks, we're going to talk about Facebook, another security breach of 50 million users. Here's the question I got for you. Do you really feel like there is a such thing as privacy online? And how many of you are willing to depart from the social media platform as a result of this? Is this going to change what you put on Facebook? We're going to have our conversation with Professor Sinwright of American University to talk about this issue and to look at the long-term impact, because there seems to be a pattern at Facebook that maybe we should all rethink our relationship with. All right, we'll talk about that. Also, we'll be checking in with Student Minister Carlos Muhammad to talk to us a little bit about what's happening and some upcoming events for this weekend. And I'm going to do something different. I'm going to call it like whatever your Friday fire desires they may be, like the fact that Dunkin' Donuts has decided to remove the word donut and just focus on drinks. Yeah. Whole lot that and a whole lot of other weird things that have been happening. So stay riding with us. It's For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Now let's check in with NPR with your check on news and traffic. Stay riding with me. We'll be right back.
I do this for my culture, 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 culture.
Welcome back to For the Culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me this evening, folks, as we have this very, very interesting and certainly timely conversation about social media and privacy. Folks, I don't know what else to say about this situation where we are at this place. How is it that once again we find ourselves at this place where our basic private information is accessed through a social media site? All right, let's bring it. Let's put it where the goats can get it. Facebook, once again, has been hacked. And 50 million, that's the initial number that has been put out there. 50 million accounts may be compromised as a result of it. Yep, this is the latest situation that is coming out of Silicon Valley. And this is really an ongoing issue because, you know, just a few months ago, we were dealing with the same thing. Then a few months prior to that, we were dealing with the same thing. Yeah, well, according to Facebook, they said it today that an attack on a computer network has exposed the personal information of 50 million users. The company said that it discovered the breach this week and that the attackers exploited a feature. They exploited a feature in Facebook's code that allowed them to take over user accounts. Early today, Facebook forced, check this out. Now, the initial number for this hacking was at 50 million, right? 50 million user accounts. But then earlier today, Facebook forced more than 90 million users to log out of their accounts, which they consider to be a common safety measure taken when accounts have been compromised. And Facebook said it has fixed the vulnerability and notified law enforcement officials. Now, the founder and chief executive officer, Mr. Mark Zuckerberg, said that we're taking it really seriously. I'm glad we found this, but it is definitely an issue. You don't say that this happened in the first place. Facebook said it did not know the origin or the identity of the attackers, nor had it fully assessed the scope of the attack. Its investigation is still being done and is certainly in the beginning stages. Now, according to the theories, the attackers exploited two areas of the site. They call them two bugs in a site. One being the site's view as feature, which allows users to view their own profiles as if they were someone else. According to Facebook, the feature was built to give users more control over their privacy. Check out the irony in that. So the hackers went through a feature that was built to give users more control over their privacy. And then that was compounded by a flaw in Facebook's video uploading program. The flaw allowed the hackers to steal so-called access tokens, which are digital keys that allows access to an account. And it's not clear when the attack happened, but appears to have occurred after the video uploading program was introduced. Wow. So, folks, we're back at this place again, right? We're back at this place where we're trying to figure out what is going on. Why is it that Facebook keeps having the same problems? But I'm not even necessarily worried about Facebook as a company, okay? Because I feel like they're going to deal with it the way they're going to deal with it. The question I'm wondering is us as the consumer, as the participant, as members of this massive platform, how do you feel about your privacy right now? And since this latest breach, has exposed hackers to names, addresses, names, and some other very, very personal information about the user. Do you even believe that there is a such thing as privacy online? That's the question I'm trying to figure out. And the bigger question is, folks, do you or are you or have you been thinking about leaving Facebook altogether? Because it is showing time and time again that it is not the most secure site for social media. Okay, let's throw out another question. We're just having a little Friday side chat about this. Since most of us get of our news on Facebook, how reliable is the news source at this point? Right? How reliable is that? And at this point, not looking at the larger landscapes of social media, right? But Facebook is because of its mammoth size in terms of its users, as well as its impact on our society. You know, do you feel confident that this is going to continue to kind of spill over in other platforms such as Instagram, okay? Or maybe Twitter or Snapchat? A lot of things here. And what will you teach? Here's the final question. in regards to teaching your children, your teenagers, and others who are on Facebook, are you going to have a conversation with them about privacy? Do we need to kind of have that talk about what to post and what not to post, right? Could you imagine that? Somebody pull up your account on Facebook and then they see some old pictures that you wanted deleted and they're on your front page, or your profile picture is some picture of you looking crazy. You know what I'm saying? And you feeling all embarrassed and stuff. You think you deleted something. And I mean, it's just the questions and the possibilities of its impact are absolutely endless. But do you feel safe about it? All right, here also joining us in this conversation is our favorite technology professor. He serves as the professor at American University. He's always given us an update about this situation. We're going to be joined in a few moments by Professor Iram Sinright. And it's always good to talk to him as he's been keeping us up to date about what he's been hearing, as he's kind of like our ears in Silicon Valley, even though he's in D.C. But he always keeps us up to date. But I have a caller I wanted to check in, and I want to get to our caller first this time, because she actually had her account hacked, and so I want to get her story out there to kind of serve as the foundation for this larger conversation. So we have Michelle from West Baltimore. Michelle, thank you so much for checking in. How are you this evening, Michelle?
I am well. It is so ironic that this is the topic of your broadcast tonight, because as I'm driving home, I just got off the phone with PayPal because I happened to look at my account and there was a $250 debit through PayPal, my PayPal account, from Facebook. And I said, this is ridiculous. So I called PayPal and put in a claim, and, you know, they do it automatically, but I wanted to speak to a person because I needed somebody to dig deeper. And when the young man began, when I shared with him that I did not, first of all, he said it was a business account from Facebook. I don't have a business account from Facebook. I don't know where this came from. And then he dug deeper, and he saw that whomever had hacked my account, they had made two additional debits from my account via PayPal yesterday, one for $25, one for $50. I didn't notice that. And then today, $250.
So all together, you got $325.
$25 from Facebook.
Wow. From Facebook. Now, let me ask you a question.
You said, I wanted to point out, you said, how does this extend to other venues?
Yep.
Well, apparently, it's touching PayPal now.
So Facebook has this, and we're going to talk to Professor Sinright in a moment, because we got to understand the relationship between like PayPal and Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. So, but I'm interested. So, how often do you use Facebook, Michelle?
Daily.
Daily.
I was using it daily.
Mm. You said you was using it daily. But when you are on it, is it like one of them situations where a lot of us, We on it, then we put our phones down, but the app is still running.
Yes, that's what I'm doing.
You get notifications the whole night. Like, yes. Okay.
Yep.
So have you noticed, outside of your bank account, was there any particular anything that stuck out for you when you went into log into your account, or when you checked your page this morning?
No, nothing.
So this
is... And I know of, because actually I haven't been on Facebook today. So I don't know.
Okay.
I haven't really been on it and really perused it or any of that. So I don't know. No one has reached out to me and said something crazy has been on my page. So
right.
I don't know.
So you don't know.
I'm assuming not.
So this is not just a breach of gaining information. This has also now become a breach of getting money, far as you know.
Yeah, as far as I know, because the young man shared with me, he said they had closed out my PayPal account. But he said, I would strongly suggest you, of course, to change your password and all of that to Facebook. And I'm like, this is ridiculous.
So you talked to Facebook, did you call Facebook like customer service, or who did you talk to?
No, I called PayPal.
Oh, you called PayPal.
It came through PayPal, but it said Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really interesting. So very now that this is now in a much deeper space, and I think it's a little bit broader than I even expected to hear that now PayPal is removing money from people's account without their authorization. And that's really interesting. What now, given this, Michelle, are you planning to delete your account from Facebook? What's your next step going to be with your relationship to that
platform? I'm going to have to take stronger measures. You know, I had used it for some other things, but aside from it being a social, you know, me personally as socially, you know, I deal with it as it relates to ministry and things of that nature, and even with my job and being a person who does some social media things for my job. Yeah. But I'm going to have to reconfigure that because and kind of look at this from a different lens because I can't. We're not taking money from my account. That's what we're not.
First thing, you as just well like stop PayPal. Yourself and just be like,
As well as PayPal.
No, boo boo. We will not take
PayPal.
Money.
This is over. No more. Mm-mm. You can delete this account because I no.
So, do you plan to go back on the Facebook though?
No. No, especially since I didn't know there was a breach until I heard your
you just heard us. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't know.
So and what about other social media platforms? Are you on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat?
I am, but I don't really use them. I don't know anything about Snapchat. I'm telling my age now, but I
okay.
don't deal with Snapchat.
You call it
like
chat
that.
Snap and all that stuff?
I don't deal with any of that. Instagram, I have a page. I don't get on it. I primarily use Facebook.
You use Facebook.
And a little bit of Twitter. And but like, I'm kind of right now over it. I'm glad they put my money back because if they didn't, then I would be like,
okay.
No, I ain't dealing with nobody. But, you know, they put my money
So PayPal, put your money back. And so now you thinking about, hey, I got to rethink my relationship to using social media at this point.
Right.
Do you feel safe? I mean, do you feel like even though this situation happened, do you still have a sense of like, okay,
no.
I mean, okay.
No, not I don't. Any. I don't feel safe at all.
Yeah.
Because, and you know, I didn't even have enough time to think about, okay, what's my next step? And I heard your report. I mean, your topic for tonight. I'm like, what? So, I mean, of course, I'm like, nah, I ain't feeling this.
You ain't not feeling this. Well, Michelle, I appreciate you for sharing your story. And I'm glad you got your money back. I'm really happy that you got your money back and you were able to get some resolution to the problem. I want to bring in our guest tonight, Professor Iram Sinwright from American University. Professor, thank you so much for being a part of this conversation once again. So, Professor, listening to the story of Michelle, a couple of things really stick out for me. One being that it's not just about collecting data. Now it's about collecting money. Talk to us about this. Like, how does a breach in a social media site can spill over to removing money from your account?
Sure. And thanks for having me on the show and for covering this really important topic.
You're welcome.
So, you know, when we use the term data, when we talk about this stuff, we're never just talking about, you know, computer information. We're talking about the kind of stuff that affects people's lives. Money is data. Your health information is data. Your career and employment information is data. Your loan with your bank for your car, for your house is data, right? So when we say that data privacy is a problem and that companies like Facebook aren't doing an adequate job of looking out for it, we're not talking about some abstract principle. We're talking about real dollars. I mean, I get so upset when I hear stories like your caller's because I know that she's one of millions and millions of people who have seen real financial losses, real losses of time and energy trying to rectify those mistakes that are made by the corporations, and they're completely unaccountable, right? You know, under Obama, they kind of set up this this federal agency, this Consumer Fraud Protection Bureau that's supposed to be looking out for us in cases like this, but basically the current administration has completely defunded it and cut it off at the knees, so we don't even really have the government looking out for us at this point. What I would say is that as bad as that story was, somebody using the Facebook login to PayPal to siphon hundreds of dollars out of your caller's account, that's the tip of the iceberg. Because realistically, what Facebook wants to do and what it's increasingly doing is becoming the central clearinghouse for any kind of information about consumers. There was a story that came out a couple months ago about them trying to connect bank records without our knowledge or consent to our Facebook profiles. They're doing the same stuff with our health records, with our DNA ancestry records. They basically want to be the middleman who connects all the different companies that want to know stuff about us. So the next time you go to the bank and you want to get a loan for a new car, you might be turned down because of information that data has about you that is true or is not true, that you're not aware of, that they could be collecting. Now, if a criminal wants to go and take out a loan in your name, they can get that same information by hacking into Facebook and posing as you to try to get a loan from the bank. Right. So again, hundreds of dollars is a terrible story. It's happening to millions of people, but it is very much just the beginning of what is, a massive catastrophe in the making.
So let's talk a little bit about this relationship of the social media, if we could, Professor, because I think I want to put this out there. I don't think everyone knows, like, which company owns what platform. You know, which platform, Facebook. What is their relationship to PayPal, and what is and who owns what, which platform? Can you break that down for us, please?
Sure. Facebook does not own PayPal.
Okay.
In fact, they have a competing. Increasingly, Facebook wants to squeeze out PayPal, and their ambition, like Apple, like Amazon, is to basically replace credit cards and cash, and to be the platform you use to pay somebody. Right, so the idea would be like your friend buys you some tickets to a ball game, you pay them back through Facebook instead of like handing them, a couple of 20s or, PayPaling it to them.
Right.
But right now, a lot of services, including PayPal, allow you to use your Facebook connection to log on to their sites. So there's this whole kind of hidden infrastructure. You can think of it as like the tubes, all the mushrooms under the ground in a forest. Like, we think Facebook is the trees, but most of what's really going on is underground and we can't even see it, right? It's those networks that connect all of the trees, and that's what Facebook is. They've spent the last decade basically becoming the default login platform for thousands and thousands and thousands of the most popular websites around. So if somebody hacks your Facebook data, if somebody gets access to your login credentials, it's not just that they could post on your site or look into your personal history and see the goofy pictures you posted when you're in high school. They can also log onto PayPal. They can log on to, onto Amazon, onto any of these sites that uses a PayPal login, a Facebook login, and pretend to be you and undertake financial transactions, lie about your history, smear your reputation, basically do anything that they want that you do on any of those sites. It's not that Facebook is evil. It's just that they're too big and they're too powerful.
So then, right? The other part of it that is they can't keep up with it. Like, they're still growing, but they can't keep up with their own growth. Am I right in thinking that?
You are absolutely correct. I remember talking to somebody who worked at Microsoft about 15 years ago. And, back then, Microsoft was like what Facebook is now. They were the big company that kind of owns technology.
Yeah.
And I remember them telling me that, like, even the software engineers at Microsoft did not know what most of the code inside Microsoft Word and Microsoft Excel were. Because those software programs had been around for so long that every time they update them, it's like putting a new shell on something, but they don't go into the interior of it and actually take a look around. So Facebook has now gotten so big that it is actually very likely that even Mark Zuckerberg and all of the brilliant people that work for him, including the software engineers, don't actually understand what it is that they are manufacturing and distributing and that billions of people around the world use every day.
But that lack
and that's
of,
a problem, too.
I'm about to say, because, Professor, that lack of knowledge leaves open breaches like this to occur.
Absolutely. And look, it's only only rarely do these breaches get reported on and do we find out about them. The reality is there are probably all kinds of other vulnerabilities in Facebook's code that they themselves don't know about and that we don't know about and that only a handful of very enterprising criminals know about.
Wow. Look, we got to take a quick pause. When we come back, more with media professor Iram Sinwright from American University, as we talk about the the breach of Facebook's accounts. 50 million users. Are you one of them? We spoke to Michelle from West Baltimore, who experienced money being taken out of her account from PayPal by PayPal from Facebook. I want to hear your story. Or if you are one of the 50 million whose accounts have been compromised as a result of not having a strong security on Facebook. But the other thing is this, folks, do we really have privacy online? I mean, we share so much of our personal lives. We share so much of our history and other people in our lives. Do you really feel safe? Is this the straw that breaks the camel's back? Are you interested? Are you thinking about logging off of Facebook for good? Because some of us, we do these detox, social media detox. Is this the right time to do a social media detox as 50 million user accounts have once again been hacked and exposed to potential hackers to potentially be used for other means that are not good for us as the consumer? I want to get your thoughts on it. 410-319-8888. And we are also broadcasting live on our Facebook page at FortiCulture889, where you can post your comments and I'll share them with our listeners as well. So stay riding with me. More about the Facebook hacking on the second half of For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. We'll be right back.
I do this for my culture, 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 culture.
And welcome back to For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me, folks, this evening. We're talking about the latest breach at Facebook, where more than 50 million user accounts have been hacked. How do you feel about this? Now, this is not the first time that Facebook has been hacked, especially on this mass level. But do you feel like we are at this place where there is no such thing as privacy online? We're here to give us some insight about this latest breach of security. It has been media professor, Professor Iram Sinwright, professor of communications at American University. And we're happy to have the professor back on to talk about this. But folks, I know this is not a sexy topic, right? I know this is not sexy. I know we often talk about everything from race to education. But this is certainly one of those things that I think is very, very culturally relevant, considering that we spend so much time on social media, right? We dictate our lives on social media. We follow each other on social media. We update each other on social media. I mean, social media has become a part of our life more than, and in some cases, more than actual people, which is the irony of it, right? Because social media, I remember Mark Zuckerberg saying in the beginning of the formation and development of Facebook that Facebook is a platform to bring people together. But isn't it funny now that we have replaced people with the technology that is supposed to bring us together? That's pretty ironic, to say the least. But we're at this point also where we have to look at privacy. How safe or how secure that you know that your information will be kept private? Now, you know, whatever I post on Facebook, it is what it is, you know, on Facebook. I don't have anything to hide. However, could you imagine going to your account and you're seeing pictures of, you know, that one night where you don't necessarily want to see people have your picture? Or as you heard Professor Sinwright say, that, you know, now Facebook is a part of the login process for so many other sites that you start to get money deleted from your account, that you get orders from Amazon that you didn't place, that you start, you know, downloading content on your phone or on your tablet that you didn't request. I mean, this thing has so many legs and the impact is endless. So we want to have this conversation tonight because I'm talking about privacy. I'm talking about security and peace of mind. But then I'm also talking about where we are in our culture as it relates to social media. Let's go back to the line here, what you got to say, 410-319-8888. And of course, we are broadcasting live on our Facebook page. We're broadcasting on Facebook. Yep. Right now at For the Culture 88.9 and on my personal Facebook page at Faraji Muhammad. Let's go to Gene out of Pikesville. Gene, thank you so much for checking in. What's your take, sir?
Hey, how you doing, Faraji?
I'm good.
How you doing, Professor? Yeah, I just want to come, you know, again, you know me, I got history background, right?
Yep.
And part of my history, after graduating from Morgan, I worked for one of the major banks in Baltimore, and I worked for, we were in bed with, and it was an assessment, what do you call it, ancestral relationship with Visa and MasterCard.
Mm.
And so, and, you know, we know that the universities and the military first used the internet, and then came along the banks who did interchange processing. So basically what the banks did was issue millions and millions and millions of credit cards to consumers. And then in the retail locations, that gave people, you know, the wealth to go into stores and charge things, et cetera. But fraud is basically sort of what we're talking about. Am I on the right track, Professor?
Absolutely.
So, you know, so fraud was a thing that we were concerned about because these all these charges, there were fees associated with them. So you had Donner's Club, you know, Discover, MasterCard, and Visa, of course, but they each of them charged a fee or, you know, for using the credit card machine. And so now you're talking about the social aspect of it, but basically we're talking about what we were afraid of was fraud.
Mm.
And that was the, you know, the biggest expense associated with a credit or, you know, using the credit card. And so that's where we are now. You know, I'm 70,
yes,
and I have a Facebook account, and I'm also, you know, I'm a radio revolutionary.
Right.
And so when you go to my website, it's by any means necessary.
Okay.
And chickens come home to roost. So anybody who wants to go to my account and steal it, you're welcome to go there.
You're welcome to go there. Hey, Gene, what would you take from this latest breach? I mean, at this point, should we all just hop off of Facebook?
Yeah. Well, you know, as an account executive, which I was, you know, of course, fraud was my concern. So if I went into, and back then, software companies were a high risk.
Yeah.
Because people could set up a business. And, you know, basically what it means is in 2 days you could get your money.
Right.
You know, you send in your credit card transaction, your sales, and then either the next day or 2 days you get your money. And so vitamin companies, backroom, baller room type businesses were, you know, high risk businesses. And so right now your social media account is a high risk business.
Mm-hmm.
It's a high risk situation. So if, like the professor says, if you have your bank account, or any other information, your pictures from your date the other night, you know, where you put peanut butter on each other and that kind of stuff. It's like if all this stuff is on your phone, then you should be concerned about fraud and people accessing your account. And, you know, whether it's your savings account or it's your love account. You
That's
know?
A good point.
You have to be careful with that.
Absolutely.
And so you have to be your own fraud account now and look out for your own security. So that's what I have to say.
Hey, Gene from Pikesville, always a pleasure to hear from you. Thank you so much, sir, for checking in. T-Bar from Baltimore. T-Bar, talk to us. Hey, what's up, T-Bar? Talk to me, man. Are you planning to jump off Facebook right now?
I honestly am not on Facebook. Yeah, so I'm on there, but I don't post or nothing like that. And my face is covered up in my photo, and my name is not my real name. So, hey.
I mean, so you just created a whole new, like, fake account then, bro. Your face is covered.
Me
your name is not doing it. Who are you really talking about anybody?
I mean, hey, you know. Like, as Gene said, we have to protect ourselves out here. Wherever there's something of value, there are going to be thieves trying to get to it. So one thing that, or a lot of things that, there are a lot of things that we can do as consumers to protect ourselves. I'm not really sure, like, how, what the latest breach was on Facebook, but hopefully everybody out there is getting the message to, we need to have, one, stronger passwords. That is important. I mean, that's one layer that you can protect yourself, having a stronger password, but also being knowledgeable about the type of techniques that these individuals will try and use to get to you, like phishing scams, where you get an email,
yeah,
but it looks like it's coming from someone you know, but the important thing to do is pay attention to the email address, because the address won't be correct.
Mm.
If you look at that email address and it's not the person that you know, do not click any links on that email. That, I mean, those are two things that we as consumers can do to protect ourselves. I mean, Facebook, you know, who knew? I mean, I'm pretty sure, like you said, Mark Zuckerberg and even the technicians that work with him couldn't have predicted that Facebook, everybody and their mama would have Facebook in 2018. I mean,
right.
Of course, that was the goal. And, you know, we want to be sure to check them on certain things that they want to add and certain partnerships they want to make.
Mm-hmm.
But like, as again, that's up to us as consumers to direct Facebook to say no. I mean, and maybe, you know, this moment for everybody to detox raises their eyebrows. So,
right.
I mean, you know, I'm down with the detox.
I'm a detox from Facebook after this broadcast tonight. Cause I'm going live right now, so I'm not detoxing. I'm at. You know, give me about like an hour and 20 minutes, T-Ball. No, but you know what? You're absolutely right, and you know, I thank you for checking in, bro. I mean,
I thank you for having these important conversations, because this is something, you know, that this is something that we don't talk about in our communities. You know,
no, bro. We don't.
You know, we need to talk about these things because we are consumers.
And you know, here's the funny thing, T-Bar. The reality is, and I'm so happy that Professor Sinwright kind of made this clear, that the technology that we consume, even from a social media platform, is intertwined with everything else that we deal with. I mean, in terms of the websites, you know, Gene talks about the banking piece. I mean, it's all intertwined. Yeah. It's all connected.
Right, right.
And I mean, honestly,
I'm all connected too. So I want this thing to keep going. I don't need to
right, right. So you imagine that if there was a much larger breach, or there is greater compromise on Facebook, like Professor Sinwright said, like this is not just about the tree; it's about the roots. Like all
roots,
that
right.
we are connected with will possibly collapse, or at least be compromised.
Get some more water and some more, you know, minerals to the soil, which is telling our consumers, look,
absolutely,
man, don't be clicking them. You know what I mean, just because it's a girl, a picture saying, "Hey, babe," with a link in it, don't click it. You know,
don't
you ain't
click
know that
it.
Girl.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't know that girl.
T-Ball, my man, check it in. Thank you so much for checking
right,
in, man. It's good to hear from you. Professor Sinwright, a couple of things that I think T-Ball brought up, as well as Gene. Let's talk about this security measures for consumers, right?
Sure.
You know, having stronger passwords. How much will that really do?
It's a start, but it's not enough, right? Because the problem is that, you know, in this case, the 50 million or however many it turns out to be once the dust is settled, all the accounts that were breached at Facebook, it wasn't because of, you know, the passwords not being strong enough. It was because of a coding error on Facebook's side. So you could have the world's greatest password and you'd still be caught in this breach, right? So, you know, I am 100% on the side of, like, you know, educating consumers about protecting their personal data online. And I actually hold clinics at American University that teaches people how to do that. And if you don't know how to do that stuff, you should seek out an organization that teaches it and educate yourself. But that's only half of the equation, right? The other half is that we actually have to have a corporate sector and a government sector that value our privacy and, you know, are duty bound to protect it at all costs.
Yeah.
And that's what we don't have right now. And we need to have an industrial complex that is diversified. You know, we were using the metaphor of the forest before. Well, if you've only got one kind of tree in the forest And, you know, let's say they're like elm trees, and all of a sudden, one of them gets Dutch elm disease, right? The entire forest is going to die because there's only one kind of tree, right? That's what the internet is right now. It's basically one kind of tree, and its name is Facebook. And if Facebook gets hacked, the entire internet is up for grabs. So what you really need is not only, for Facebook to be accountable for its data practices, but you have to have a kind of strong antitrust policy at the federal level and the international level to make sure that one company doesn't get as big as Facebook is.
So how does the consumer protect themselves if you feel like your federal government is not doing enough? You feel like the creators of the technology is not doing enough. How does the consumer find any level of, protection or security if all of the institutions that you thought would be there for you are not there for you?
That's a great question, and there's not an easy answer, and I've spilled a lot of ink trying to answer this question. I mean, one of the answers is that, we can vote with our wallets. There's an old saying in the media industry, right, and the tech industry, which is, if you don't know, what the product is, then the product is you, right? Facebook is free because they make their money off of us. They don't charge us for access to the service. They charge companies for access to us.
Right.
Right? Same thing with Amazon. You sign up for Prime and you get all this free shipping and you get all these free movies and stuff. Free isn't free.
Right.
What you're exchanging for that is a massive amount of consumer data. Now Amazon's got their Echo devices in everyone's house and it's listening 24/7 to everything that happens in your living room. Right? Pretty soon we're going to have these devices in every car. You want to buy a vacuum cleaner? Roomba is going around your house making a map of your house and sending it back to the central database. I'm not making this up. You can look it up. It's crazy, but it's true. Right? So what we have to do as consumers is to create an environment where we say it's not acceptable. If your business model is collecting data about me and selling it to third parties that I've never heard of for reasons that I can't say yes or no to, I'm not going to do business with you.
Well, Professor, isn't that the nature of capitalism? I mean, the nature of capitalism. Hey, I was
hey,
going
you
to
you want to get Marxist? Let's get Marxist.
Right. Well, yeah. Let's go, Professor. Let's go. but isn't that the nature of capitalism, right, which is to try to see where there is a need and then exploit that need for profit or financial gain, right? It's not just saying, hey, there is a need. I'm going to fulfill that need. It's an exploitation. It's taking your desire to address the need to the next level. And I mean, to essentially get rich from it. I mean, you talked about the Romba, going around your house. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, I never thought about that it's making an outline of rooms in your house to send it back to a central database, right? But that's what we kind of signed up for, right?
Well, but did we? Do you remember ever agreeing to that when you bought a vacuum cleaner?
Like, no, I just wanted my floors cleaned, man.
That's
no,
what I'm saying, right?
No. I didn't want somebody to get a blueprint of where I lived.
Right, so let's talk about capitalism, right? There's different kinds of capitalism.
Okay.
Right? Facebook, there's a capitalism where you walk down the street and every store is a mom and pop shop, and each of them is like they're making the bread in the bakery and selling it to you. They're butchering the meat at the butcher shop and selling the meat to you, right? They're selling the newspapers to you at the corner store, and maybe you buy a cigarillo while you're at it, right? That's kind of like traditional capitalism. But then you get Walmart capitalism, where one giant company moves to town and they open like the cheapest, biggest store and they put everybody else out of business. And then if you want something, you're stuck because they're the only place to get it. And, if they don't like the kind of movies you want to watch, too bad, you're not going to see those movies. If they don't like if you've got allergies and they don't sell gluten-free food, too bad, you can't get your gluten-free food or whatever it is, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that Walmart model is basically what's happening to the internet today, right? When the internet became a consumer phenomenon back in the late 90s, every website was a mom and pop shop, including Amazon, right? When Facebook started up, that was a mom and pop shop. That was just Mark Zuckerberg and the Winklevoss twins in their dorm room at Harvard, right? But this thing has happened over the last 10 years where these giant mega corporations like Google and Apple and Facebook and Amazon have taken over everybody else or driven them out of business. And that's, you know, that Walmart capitalism doesn't end well for anybody.
That's true. That's really interesting. Can it be called tech capitalism, Professor?
Well, the term of art in the academic fields right now is called late capitalism.
Late capitalism.
Yeah, and I'm not going to get into exactly what that means, but if you ever hear like an academic droning on about late capitalism, that's what they're talking about. They're talking about the kind of dysfunctional phase where it's no longer serving as a kind of meeting place for different interests who each have something and want to get something from one another, but instead all of the value gets extracted out of the people and into the pockets of a handful of super elites who control everybody else's lives.
Wow.
And that's basically what we're seeing.
Wow. Let's go back to the phone lines, folks. 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888. I'm talking to media professor Iram Sinwright from American University as we try to get some understanding about this latest breach at Facebook where 50 million user accounts have been hacked. Has this happened to you over the past 24 hours? Have you noticed some issues with your Facebook account or some money missing from your personal account? I want to hear your thoughts. 410-319-8888. Also, you can certainly post your comments on our page on our For the Culture Facebook Live page right now at For the Culture 889. All right, let's go to LaVon out of Northeast Baltimore. LaVon, you have a question for the professor.
Yes. How you doing, Faraji?
I'm good, LaVon. How are you?
Definitely interesting. I'm learning something. I've just corrected something too for this knowledge. I paid for something on Facebook just this week. I made a donation to a charity, and I noticed that they said add my card, and I was trying to find where it says do you want to add the card, but they didn't even ask that. They just said add your card. First, I wasn't going to pay it and just give her a check, but I said, okay, just go ahead and do it. Did it. But when you said that that there was a breach, I didn't know that they were keeping my information, and I found out, I just went through my phone, and I got it deleted. But are other mediums doing that, like Twitter? They didn't even ask me a question on Twitter, but are other mediums doing things like that, Snapchat, wherever you pay through? They're not even asking anymore. They just add your card and keep it for the record.
Wow. Wow. So because they're just telling you to put your... But you're saying that you didn't even know that your card had to be added when you initially made the donation.
Right. Usually they don't add the card. It used to be that they would ask you the question, do you want to save this for future purchases?
Right.
But just this week when I made the donation, they didn't even ask that. They just added the card. And when I just went, as I'm riding home to look, I went through the settings and all, and payment settings, and sure enough, it was there as a save.
Mm.
So I deleted it because they said you can remove it. I did that. But I wonder, are other ones doing the same thing? They're just saving your information, and you don't even know it.
And real quick, LaVon, and I'm going to let the professor answer that. Have you noticed a change in your bank account? Was that donation,
well,
did that
look,
donation go through?
I'm gonna look when I get out the car.
Was it a sizable amount? Was it like first?
Oh my God.
How much did you donate?
I donated $10.
Oh, okay, LaVon. You scared the hell out of me. I thought you were about to say $100 or something.
I used one of my cards that don't have a lot of money on it through my bank account.
Gotcha.
Just in case I had some issues. But I feel like.
Listen to that. And that's something. Listen to what your intuition said. Hey, LaVon, I think you should use the card with not a lot of money on this one.
Yeah.
Because I'm just telling you, LaVon, that's your intuition right there.
Yeah, that's the Lord. God told me that. He said, use the Visa card.
Because you're about to give some money on Facebook.
Yeah.
You're going to need God to intervene on a situation like this.
And then you coming on here saying the breach, I said, oh, my God. So I checked, and sure enough, they had added that card to save it for the future purchases without my knowledge.
Get out of here. Well, you know what? Let me see. Professor Sinwright, you're hearing the story of LaVon. What could you advise her to do?
Sure. Well, I think you probably got bamboozled. I mean, there was probably a little tiny X somewhere or like a little checkbox that you could have unchecked to get them not to maintain your credit card, because I think it's against their policy. their stated policy to take those data without your permission. But you got to understand from Facebook's standpoint and from all these businesses' standpoint, the credit card data is just one data point, just one piece of information that they have about you. And they will go through every trick in the book short of actual crime to get as many of those pieces of data about you as they can. Another scandal that just came out about Facebook this week that got eclipsed by this giant hack was the fact that they were hooking up everybody's cell phone numbers without permission.
What?
So, you know,
wait a minute. Hold on, Professor. Yeah. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You're saying Facebook was looking up everybody's cell phone number?
Yeah, that's right. So the way that they would do it is, like, let's say that, you know, this. So there's this thing you were asking before about what we can do to protect ourselves.
Right.
Right? Better passwords, et cetera. One of the things that you can do to protect yourself is what's called two-factor authentication. I'm sure some of your listeners have done this. You log on to Facebook with your name and password, and then they text you a special code to your phone, and you can only really log in after you enter that code. And that, then they know that the person with the password and the phone is the only person who's logging in. That sounds pretty smart. But what we found out earlier this week is that Facebook was taking all the people who gave them their phone number just for the purpose of protecting their security and adding that phone number to their profile information without their knowledge or consent. And then, of course, when those 50 million plus breaches happened, when all those accounts got hacked, not only was the credit card and username and password taken, also the phone numbers were taken.
Yeah. Wow.
Right? Because Facebook was collecting those without permission.
Wow. So, LaVon, so, I mean, wow.
I'm thinking about getting off Facebook now.
You about to do a detox, LaVon?
I'm about to detox. I'm getting ready. I think I'm gonna do it. I'm so sick of this.
I get it. I'm not laughing at your pain. Trust me, I'm not laughing at your pain.
And the fact that this administration actually deleted programs that were protecting us.
Yeah.
It's disgusting, and people are not even at alarm about that. That's just disgusting.
That's why we're having this conversation, LaVon. Like, at the end of the day,
you're
welcome, and I appreciate you from checking in and sharing your story. But at the end of the day, folks, we at least have to be aware. Now, whether you decide to detox from Facebook or make some changes about your social media habits, that's totally up to you. But you should at least know the real threat, the real risk that are facing you and your data and your information and essentially your livelihood. Robert from Northwest Baltimore. Robert, thank you so much for checking in. What's your take on this? Facebook's 50 million user accounts have been hacked. How do you feel about privacy online, Robert?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, Robert. How are you, sir?
Hey, look, it's very interesting. His brother, he's talked about this information gap, this control situation. You know, and everything comes about the urgency of getting everything in this country carded. And they talked about that in Future Shock and how this was going to be a cashless society, but also very informative, very informative society in terms of the corporations controlling this society. And he hit me right on the nose. I believe they knew Facebook was coming, but there was coming out of a new situation disguised to extract personal and ID information from all the citizens. This has been going on for since the 50s. They talked about this kind of society being built or developed. You got 1984, same thing in that book.
Yeah.
About this control situation, man, and that's what it comes down to. Everything is to extract and take from you, and you have no defense for it.
Yeah.
By the way, they passed a law in Congress 2 years ago. They can take a lien out on your check or your money, and you don't have to show up, and they won't notify you.
Wow.
They notify you after they then start taking your money out, man.
Wow.
This is the financial corporation.
Wow.
All this extraction of the data. And as you pointed out earlier, everything comes down to, Muhammad. M-O-N-E-Y.
It comes down to that. Hey, look, Robert, I appreciate you for checking in. Certainly appreciate you for sharing your thoughts about this. Look, folks, we got to take a quick pause. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation with Professor Sinwright. Leisha, I want to get your thoughts on this as well. And, of course, we're broadcasting live. Guess on what, folks? Facebook. That's right. That's why my Facebook Live keeps going down. Because Facebook is watching me as much as I'm watching you. All right, look, we'll continue the conversation. Plus, we'll check in with Brother Student Minister Carlos Muhammad. Still got a lot coming up in the next 60, so stay riding with us. It's For the Culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. We'll be right back. Now let's check in with NPR with your latest in news and traffic.